Let's talk to Kurt Frazier again, the original coach of the Thrashers. He joins us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Coach, how are you?
Fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. We'll talk about the Thrashers, the run you had here in the city, in just a second. But let's go back to you coaching in China. First of all, how does that happen?
Last year, I wasn't coaching, and I was doing like things for the NHL, some coaching clinics, global series over in Europe. I was bouncing around, going around, and then all of a sudden, one day, China. The Kunlun Red Star calls me and says, "Hey, our coach needs some help. Could you come over and help him out and work through some of the issues we're having?" And I said, "Sure, I got nothing to do. It'd be kind of interesting. You head over there." So anyway, 2 days go by, and they call me back and say, "Hey, you know what? We did some research and some background on you, and we want you to be our coach." I said, "What?" So I was like, "Okay, you know." And anyway, I had to be there 24 hours later. I had to get there, get on a plane, get there fast. I wound up, going there, and there's 12 games left in the season. So I got a little taste of the KHL, the players we had, the team. We were in Shanghai then. And so I got to see a little bit, different part of the world, and it was great. And then I came back, and I must have done something right because they wanted me back. And then I headed back to Beijing this past season, and it was great. It was really good right up until, this happened. In January, around the middle of January, we were going to leave on a month-long road trip through Russia. So it kind of timed itself at the same time as things started to heat up over there. And they said, "Hey, there's not going to be any more sporting events allowed, no more gatherings of more than 50 or 100. You guys got to leave." And so anyway, we grabbed everybody, wives, girlfriends, everything, and left, and ended up never, not going back. So guys left their apartments, their clothes, everything there, and we went and lived in Russia for the rest of the remaining of the season. When the season ended, everybody just jumped on the plane and headed home.
So what's it like, because we have some perspective now, but when it's breaking, I'm assuming much more than today, you guys must be going, "What? What is happening?" Like, I don't even know how the news gets to you or what the message actually was.
Well, you know what? Like, Beijing was, where we were based, and there was nothing happening there. Like, nothing. There's no cases. The only thing that we saw was they started coming around taking temperatures. And at the airport, they had sensors all of a sudden set up where you'd walk through, and it would show your temperature on the screen, and that's how they checked it. But it really was, there was nothing going on, nothing happening in Beijing. Everything was out of the city limits. And then we left and then just started following it like everybody else. And then it progressively got worse and worse and started to spread around. So our team, we got tested twice when we arrived in Russia, 2 weeks after we were there, because, obviously we were a team from China and we didn't want to take any chances. So we all got tested, all got cleared, and then we just waited it out for 6 or 7 weeks on the road. And then at the end of it all, we thought maybe, geez, what is this, a virus? We didn't know anything about it. Maybe by then it would be over and we'd head back and get our stuff. Well, that wasn't going to happen. It just progressively got worse, and then we weren't allowed to go back. Nobody would want to go back. And we just jumped on a plane and headed home, and now we're just waiting to see what happens.
Kurt Frazier with us, Thrashers original coach in China back in January when everything starts to happen surrounding the coronavirus. So you still have personal items in China that you're probably never going to get back.
Well, the team, the staff that I work with over there, I guess they've gone and got my bags that were in the hotel we stayed at, and have taken it to the office. And then I've got another bag in transit somewhere in Finland that we were trying to get our stuff organized. I don't know what'll happen. Hopefully they find a solution to this and we can get back to normal. But, I don't know. Anyway, I'm good with the stuff there, the guys' apartments and everything. I think they've found a way to fix that and move them out and pack up their stuff. So hopefully everything's okay. For everybody, the people I talk to over there, in Beijing, everything's pretty good. All the restaurants and bars and everything are open again. Everything's kind of up and running. But Beijing's kind of their Washington, you know, their business center. That's where everything happens. So you'd never hear much bad coming out of there. Somehow they've managed to control that area a little bit, I think. And the guys, we had a couple of people that worked for us, staff. After we headed home, they went back to Beijing. They actually flew back, and they live there. They love it there. And these are guys, one's from England, the other one's from North America. They like being there. They enjoy it there. And everything that you communicating with them, everything's fine. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Kurt, before we talk a little bit about the Atlanta and even a little bit about your playing career, what's the level of hockey that's being played? When I hear hockey in China, I'm trying to figure out, okay, how many Chinese players do you have on a team and where are players coming from? What's the actual level of hockey in your opinion?
Well, China itself is like developing hockey. You know, they've been going for quite a while, but, it's still in the early stages of getting hockey up and running there. But the kids are the local Chinese is what we call them. Are kids that grew up in China. They live there. The skill level is really good. They can skate like the wind. They just have to work more on the team play, you know, where we're learning how to work together a little bit. Everybody's kind of individual. Now, the kids that we have, our team plays in the KHL, which is, based in Russia, and it's an extremely good league, very competitive. We started 4 years ago. It starts with one Chinese heritage kid. That's a guy that's grown up in North America. Parents were Chinese or have a Chinese background, and those are the kind of kids that we have playing in the KHL. The Chinese kids aren't ready to play in the KHL by any means, but the Chinese heritage kids are coming along pretty good. So we started off the first year with one, and this year we had 10 playing in the lineup. And the reason why I was hired and the team is there is to prepare a group of Chinese heritage and a Chinese mixture for the Olympics, to get them ready to play. So that's our goal. And unfortunately, this year we had 10 playing, and hopefully they continue to get better.
Hey, Kurt, I know you were drafted in 78 before, obviously, you get into the coaching. You had a career that was 11 or 12 years in the NHL. I don't know what – I certainly was a bigger fan back in the 70s and 80s living up in the Northeast. Can you explain to people what it's like to be a young guy? You basically get drafted. You're playing in the NHL. I'm assuming there's a veteran or two. We used to call them goons. I don't even know what they're called anymore, if there is such a thing as an NHL. But I'm assuming somebody wanted to greet you every once in a while. Hey, Rook, let me show you what men are like. And gloves down. How many ass kickings? Or do you remember the first time somebody just bowed up to you at it? In an NHL game?
Well, it started when I was 15 years old. I was playing junior hockey, Tier 2, it's called, the BC Junior League. And I went from there, from the a minor hockey, North Shore Winter Club, to this junior hockey. And anyway, I remember about the third or fourth game, I thought we were pretty good, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. And we were in Penticton one night, and this big kid, Severinsen, I think his name was, he grabbed me in the corner, and that was my first, like you said, ass kicking that I had. And anyway, after that, you had to learn. You had to learn quick, grow up fast of protecting yourself and how to do it. Back then, everything was a little bit different. It was a much rougher game, much more physical fight. And you had to learn to protect yourself fast, so... And I played 4 years as a junior for the Victoria Cougars in the Western League, and that was like a men's league. And I, 16 years old, it was stand up for yourself or you're done. So anyway, we had a big, strong, tough team, and the older guys showed me the way, brought me along. And then finally, when I hit the NHL, I was more than prepared for all the side things that come with hockey and the tough play. So then I just worked through that, and sure, I had lots of run-ins, and I don't know why, I was a good guy, like everybody, but they didn't like me. So there was lots of run-ins back then, but that was how hockey was played then. Physical, tough fights every night, and it was a little crazy, but that's just how it was.
Kurt Frazier is with us, was in China coaching when the epidemic and pandemic first occurred, original coach of the Thrashers as well. And I asked this question in all seriousness. You talked about developing a hockey franchise in China. Any parallels between what you experienced there and trying to pilot an expansion franchise here in Atlanta?
Yeah, you know, I've been involved with this a lot. Like, you know, in Milwaukee, they went from a farm team of the Vancouver Canucks to an independent. Then I went to Orlando, and that was a brand new team, you know, an independent. Then I go to Atlanta, and that's a, you know, a new team, an expansion team. And it's like every team I seem to be involved with has always been going that route. And now I go to China, a very young team, looking to develop the Chinese players. And it's kind of been, you know, it's gotten, I've been much more prepared every time this has happened, ever since the, you know, back way, way back in the Milwaukee days, you know, startup teams. And working through all the problems and issues that come with it. And China is no different. Like, it's very difficult there. It's not easy. First of all, the talent pool is not where it needs to be yet. It needs to be a lot better. And then the travel, the food, the just living there is a challenge. But our guys were very good. You know, they dealt with everything real, seemed to be pretty seamlessly and moved through everything. And the on-ice play got better and better. So, you know, we've got a long ways to go to compete in the KHL still, but it's getting closer, and I think this year we'll have a real good year.
Hey, Kurt, what could have happened? Maybe it wasn't even possible to make Atlanta a winning franchise or feel like a winning franchise. I know the numbers, and I know when you're the first guy, it's tough. And I don't even know how possible it was to win. But what do you think if there had been success? My God, winning a playoff series in Atlanta. What do you think? Would we still have hockey here? I mean, I know it was 10 years without a playoff win, and you go, well, that seems impossible. But do you think had there been mid-level success with a chance to maybe get to the postseason a couple of times, hockey'd still be here today?
I think, for me, you know, I come off of Orlando was a very, very successful team, you know, in the IHL then. And, you know, we've gone to the finals twice. I mean, it was fantastic. So I come into the Atlanta, and I think, you know, you think right away as a coach, hey, I can make this work. But the thought was, you know, like, hey, they're going to battle through the first 4 or 5 years and try and build with the draft, you know, how to get high, high draft picks. And then be good for 10 years, kind of thing. But that wasn't. You know, now that you look back on it, it's easy to do this. Is the first year should have continued. You know, started build with the draft, sure, but we needed to add more pieces. We needed to build a better infrastructure of the group. We needed to have a core group that would have been stronger, and the talent level needed to be raised. Now, back in those days, though, the NHL, nobody was going to help you. You know, so that was the problem. You know, you look at Las Vegas now, you know, they pay a ton of money for a team, and they want to be able to compete right away. So they're given all these high, high-end players, they're set up, and they can compete right away. Back then in Atlanta, nobody was going to help you. So we had to start, you know, it was tough. It was tough battling through those first 4 years that I was there. But, you know, expansion team coaches, I think somebody told me they usually last 2 years. So we kept battling. I was let go in my fourth year. And but I, as I look back there, if we would have added a little bit more talent in the first 3 years, I think we could have competed a whole lot better. I think we would have got the high draft picks. But I think maybe we would have been a whole, you know, more competitive. The people were fantastic. Phil Cerina was awesome. You know, like everything was in place. We just needed to win more games. And if we could have got more talented, you know, built our talent up earlier and competed so we could compete better earlier, maybe that would have turned into something really good. Because Atlanta was a fantastic city. The people were awesome. But, you know, in Atlanta, like look at the Braves, you know, just for a guy from the outside, I mean, you got to win. And that's what we need to do, focus on more in the first couple of years of having a much better team on the ice to compete better.
Yeah, Kurt Frazier, before we let you go, give you a lot of credit as well. After they relieved you of your duties, you actually stuck around and watched a game from one of the suites, did you not?
Oh, yeah. You know, I was a Thrasher. You know, like, I loved it. The guys, we weren't a very good team, but the players killed themselves every night. You know, they were awesome. They all worked their tails off. They all tried their best. They tried to do their best to represent Atlanta. You know, but we just weren't good enough. And unfortunately, if I could go back, and I'm sure everybody, if we could go back and change that, it might have built a stronger foundation for the team to stay in Atlanta. But, you know, hey, Atlanta demands a lot, and they should, and you got to win. And, you know, and it's hard to win. But back in those days, change the talent level a little bit, build it up faster, I think it could have been a whole lot better.
Hey, Kurt, before we let you go, talent, you know, if you're, we say this all the time, you're the 1% of the 1% of the 1% if you can play professional anything. But then there are guys who go that one more 1%. Guys you were around, guys on the ice, and I'm not saying you can get caught watching. Like, you got a job to do when you're on the ice. But if you're on a bench and you go, oh, that guy, I'm pretty good. That guy's filthy. And then the other part of that is like Gillies and Fatiu, where you go, I'm not supposed to tell anybody I'm afraid of a couple of guys, but there were probably a couple of guys in the league that you probably were a little bit afraid of. Can you just talk about that, maybe from a talent point of view, and then from that true tough guy? Like, who in the league did everybody know was a guy that once the gloves come off, there's going to be a problem for you?
Oh, gosh. Like, back then, you know, intimidation was, it's still a huge part of the game. Believe me, like, there's not the fighting and everything like it used to be, but it's still, like, underlying everything is, you know, you got your skilled players, you got talented players, you got fast skaters, you know, you've got everything in place, great goaltending, but there's still that little key piece where, you know, you gotta be strong, you gotta have courage. And back when I played, you know, the guys like O'Reilly and Nystrom and Gillies and Willie Pleck, you know, like all these kids, I mean, they were big, strong guys, and it was battling every night for every inch of ice, and, you know, which created, you know, confrontation, fights. And, I mean, you just had to, you know, be ready for that. And for me, a guy that had to do both, you know, we were responsible, our lines, every team I played on, for contributing offensively and looking after the physical part of things. And, you know, we sat there, sure, every night, you know, you had to check to see the roster you were playing, see who you might bump into, and you had to prepare for it. I don't think that happens so much now, but still, intimidation was a huge part of the game then, and it's still a part of the game which nobody pays much attention to, but it's there. And back when we played, like you said, there was five guys in every team that you had to be worried about.
So let me ask you, if it comes down to, I got to win one faceoff, a minute left in the game, I got to win a faceoff, who's the guy you're putting into the face-off situation?
Anybody in the league?
Yeah, it? Anybody you played with or against?
Oh, Bobby Clark. Absolutely.
How about the goalie? You got to win one game. Who you've thrown in the net?
Oh, boy. There's a tough one. I hate Billy Smith, but I guess it would have to be a guy like him. But, you know what, even in Vancouver when I played there, Richard Berger was fantastic. Murray Bannerman in Chicago was really good. I mean, everybody had great goaltending, but... gosh, I mean, there were those key guys back, you know, back through the years that, God, you don't have goaltending, you don't have anything. So that's one thing in the KHL where I'm at now. Every team has great goaltending. It's amazing. So it's very, very tough to win. And anyway, hopefully this year we can be very competitive and find a way to get a few more wins under our belt in China and see what happens. Hopefully hockey gets going again here quick.
All right, Kurt, listen, we appreciate you coming on, telling some tales from the present and the past, and most importantly, glad you made it back safe and you're healthy.
No, thanks very much, guys. Great talking to you. And hi to everybody in Atlanta, and thanks very much for that great opportunity to coach in the Atlanta Thrashers.
Keep it classy as always. Kurt Frazier, thanks for the
time, Kurt.
As he joins us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.